You are listening to Sunday Arts Magazine. It's Joy 94.9. Now, we're in the presence of greatness.
We are. Very much greatness.
Certainly have. Now, our next guest in the studio is Lee Swinzin, who is the director of the Queensland Ballet, and you're here in Melbourne to do A Midsummer Night's Dream at Her Majesty's Theatre.
Yes.
Now, Lee, we would like to have a bit of a chat about your background and how you got into the arts.
And but, who doesn't know who you are?
Well, exactly. But we still would like to get a bit of your perspective, I suppose, on where did your love for ballet in general, specifically, but arts in general start, and how did you get here?
I think, to be brutally honest, I don't think there's any artistic gene in my family when I grew up, because I grew up from such a poverty-stricken peasant family in China. For generations, I could track backwards. There is no one practiced arts or culture. But however, my mother's side, my great-grandfather on my mother's side, they were great acrobats.
Ah, okay.
So they had that physical talent, obviously.
Yep. Okay.
And perhaps that physicality of ballet, you know, that part of the genes come from that. But, you know, go back to my childhood, ballet in general, or opera or music in general, those kind of performing art forms were not widely available when I grew up. Because when you think about what just a difficult struggling that was just for basic food and clothes to wear, to enjoy arts was just the furthest thing on people's mind thing.
So how did you get introduced to ballet then?
Well, I was 10, just about turning 11, we were sitting in this very primitive commune shacks, which served as our classrooms. There is no lighting inside, there's no electricity, and it was very dim and it was very cold. The winter in my hometown could get down to somewhere between 10 to 20 degrees below zero. And it was one of these bitterly cold winters. The snow covered the ground, and there's no heating inside. We were sitting there freezing, shivering, and our teacher said, well, read this We Love You Chairman Mao text 10 times in a row. That'll keep your heart warm. And then in the middle of that reading, four men were let into our classroom. They were introduced to us as Madam Mao's cultural advisors from the Beijing Dance Academy, and they were there to select talents to study ballet.
Okay.
And then they subsequently asked to stand up, sing We Love You, Chairman Mao songs, which was something we do every single day. And then as we were singing, these four men walk along the aisles, look at each person's faces, trying to get some vague idea of our physical body shape. They selected one girl out of the 40-odd kids in the room. And just as they were about to walk out of the room, my class teacher stopped the last man from Beijing just about as he was about to walk out of the room. She said to him, excuse me, sir, what about that one? And she was pointed at me.
Wow.
So that was the moment changed my entire life.
Yeah. Have you ever seen her again?
I did. I kept very close contact with her.
Oh, lovely.
She's still alive, but she stopped teaching many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And when I was writing my autobiography, when I was writing to that moment, which is a life-changing moment for me, and I asked her, I said, teacher, son, could you please tell me why did you single me out that day? And there's a bit of silence on the other side of the phone. She finally said, Lee, for so many years I wondered, I still don't know.
Wow.
It's just, it's one of these, you know, really magical moments that, you know, something happened to my life.
But that's just happened with your life, though, hasn't it? Each stage, amazing, you know, like situations like that has happened. So tell us, when you left that classroom, what happened to you? You know, like you went off to Beijing?
Well, before we got to selected, they went through millions of kids across China, millions virtually. They went through all across China. And we went through several different rounds, from the commune to the county to the provincial, and then each level the audition got harder and harder. They measured every inch of our bodies. They want the best proportion. They want the best muscle tones. They want the flexibility. They want, you know, everything. You know, the nice look on stage. And then, so a lot of bodies were injured, the torn both of my hamstrings during that first audition, because one person held my one knee straight, so I couldn't bend. Yep. The other person pushed me against the corner of the walls. I couldn't move. And the third person forced the other leg up in the air. And as he lifted higher and higher, he kept asking me, does it hurt? And stubbornly, I said no, but it was excruciating, because for all my life, I dream of an opportunity to allow me to do something other than being a peasant life, which is starvation virtually on a daily basis. So eventually, each round of the audition, I got in, and over all of China, they selected 44 that year, and I was one of them.
Gosh. And how severe was the training once you got in?
Brutal. Yeah. Absolutely brutal. We started from 5:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, gosh.
6 days a week we trained. It was absolutely disciplined, required tremendous pain threshold, resilience, it was just discipline. And, you know, it was just life, like almost like a military, probably in some ways worse.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're constantly, binding your body and stretch your body, and you have breakthroughs, pain thresholds. You either sink or swim. Mm.
And in all of that, did you enjoy it, though? You know, like, it was hard, but did you think, I actually do enjoy this?
I hated it with passion. Yeah. The first 2 to 3 years, I hated it. Yeah. I hated everything about it. As a peasant boy, you never know anything about ballet or performing arts. How would you, my childhood dream was to help my family, to save them, to save their lives. And but ballet didn't make any connection to what I could do to help them. So eventually, on the verge of failing, being sent back home, I was so bad. I was so naughty the first couple of years. And this amazing ballet teacher made that connection for me. Says, if you become a good dancer, you can save some money, earn a decent salary, send money home to your family, on a monthly basis, because we get paid once a month, the state-owned people. Yep. But for my family as peasants, they're lucky to get paid half yearly.
Mm.
So once I made that connection of, if I become good at ballet, I could help my family back home. I have six brothers. I was the sixth of seven, and my parents couldn't read or write.
Okay. So was that trying to better your family and yourself as a from peasant life that actually drove you to do it rather?
That was my motivation at the start. Okay. That had really turned me around from hating ballet to, okay, I better work hard at this so I will not disgrace or embarrass my family and myself. To eventually, looking around, I thought, after a couple of years of hard work, I thought, God, I've caught up. And then I thought, well, only if I could work harder, I could be that much better. Yeah. So then that, from success to encouragement to satisfaction to confidence building, all that starting to evolve for me.
And all of a sudden, here you are. You become a major dancer with the company. What was it like then? Were you loving it then?
I did. I did fell in love with ballet. And that was truly the turning point of, just be a job, just be a possible job to help my family to say, I really love this thing. I really love how I feel when I moved and how I felt when I listened to the beautiful music, how happy made people who watched me dancing. So that just drove me, and that passion drove me throughout my life as a dancer.
And here you are, hearing music that you would have never heard as a child growing up in poverty, and being on stage in some of the most famous concert halls in your country and the world. What does that what's that like for this peasant boy to when you're in that pinnacle position? What are you feeling at that moment? Did you have any moments like that where you'd look back and go, I can't believe where I am?
You know, for a little while, as a youngster, when I was on the stage, particularly when I went to America, got this chance to perform in America. For the longest time, I really felt I was living in a dream. I was in a dream. Mm-hmm. Part of me refused to believe that was true. How could a peasant boy considered one of the best dancers China had ever produced? Then the vice president, George Bush, and his wife, Barbara Bush, was on the board of the Houston Ballet, who invited me there to America. And then, you know, they came to see me performance in Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., all being applauded and cheered by on the most prestigious stages in Europe and all around the world. And it was very surreal to me.
Mm. But then, you know, yes, that would be very surreal. But then down the road a little bit, a film is made of your life story.
Yeah, How did that come about? Very strange, because when I stayed in America, you know, because it was under a huge political situation at the time, FBI was all involved, and the Vice President Bush and Ronald Reagan was involved. The Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping was all involved about, you know, solve that political stalemate at the time. Then when I got out, received my opportunity to live in the Western world, to, you know, conquer a career that was just so incredibly exciting. Hollywood offered me three different film offers at the time, and I refused them. I thought, as long as I lived, I never want a film based on my life. And at that time, it was just, I was so adamant. And then throughout my life, people pursued me, want my book, or, you know, produce a theater plays and all that. But I said, no. I said, I never thought my life was really that different to billions or billions of people around the world.
I think it was.
Until I came to this country, and then I finished my dancing career after 3.5 wonderful years as a principal dancer at the Australian Ballet. And then we went to Lawn with several other families and friends. We all have a similar age group children. And in that group, there's a famous Melbourne-based and internationally famous Australian children's author called Graham Bass. And we were chatting that night, and he encouraged me to write my story. And after I've shared a little bit about my childhood experiences, and he thought my story would be inspirational to others. And that was, then from there, Penguin and several other publishers were interested. And little did I know, then I discovered I loved writing. Ah. So at first I thought, oh, I can't write possibly, because I've never been to school to learn proper English. English was very much self-taught.
Sure.
But what, these two wonderful editors, and one of them is Julie Watts from Penguin, one of the most experienced, and the other was Suzanne Wilson. And I worked with both of them, and they were fantastic. They really drove the story out of me, particularly Julie Watts. And she still lives in Melbourne. And it just was the most profound, most incredible experiences. Sometimes I would be writing, couldn't stop writing, and at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, knowing the next morning I have to go to stockbroking, which I was doing stockbroking at the time, and I just kept on writing. The next morning I had five hours sleeps and nights, and I wake up and I read through what I've written the night before. I thought, I could not possibly do this. Who wrote this? That's quite lovely.
So the book came out, and then the film.
Yes.
That would have changed your life. Those two events, your book and the
yes,
film.
I at first I thought, well, only if my book, my story could, be read by my family, treasured by my family because of the family history aspect, and by my children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren in the future. But then how did I possibly could ever guess. And the book just went on to international best-selling list and published and translated into many languages. And then the movie came about again, raised its head, the interest raised. And then eventually, obviously, Bruce Beresford, who's fantastic, mm-hmm. Director, and he agreed to direct. And then he asked me, could I help him finding the right people to play me?
Yep.
And I said, what are you looking for? He said, oh, people who can really dance like you and, you know, look pretty good on the screen. Yep. And also speak Chinese and English. I said, well, I think I might be able to find a couple of these dancers because I knew one of the current principal dancer at the Australian Ballet, Ching Wu, was one of the 18-year-old came to Melbourne at that time. And I said, I know he's a wonderful dancer. But then I also knew one of my two former ballet teachers at the Beijing Dance Academy, their son, Chi Hao, who is a principal dancer with the Birmingham Royal Ballet, a brilliant dancer. And so I knew two of them. Yeah. And then I took them to Hong Kong. But after that, I said to Bruce, I said, Bruce, look, I said, I know they can do all that. They look good and they can speak both in languages as well. They can dance very well. But as I don't know whether they can act because it requires acting. I said, would you get somebody, famous Hollywood actors such as Jackie Chan or Jet Li to play me and you have a double as a dancer? But he said, no, that won't work. But he said, I'm pretty confident if you find me the right person who can dance, unless they are totally stupid, I think I can teach them how to act.
Mm.
So so I helped him to find two of the three Lees. Mm. And the youngest Lee was 10 or 11 years old, and they found him in China.
Right. And what was the name of the film?
Well, Mao's Last Dance.
Right. And, you know, like, I don't think there would be many people worldwide that don't know that film, at least, if they haven't already seen it.
I have to say, Bruce did the most sensitive, most wonderful job on my story. Yep. And the whole time, the reason I said no to Hollywood studios and all that, various offers in the past, was I really did not know what they're going to do with my life story. They could take it, you know, so sensationalized like Hollywood normally do.
Yep.
But in this case, he was just incredible.
And I asked you this off air. Has it been released in China? The movie?
No. And they didn't. But I believe some parody DVDs was a hot property. But could I also add, not only Bruce, and he had a wonderful team.
Mm.
He had Jan Sardi as the screenplay writer, who was the screenplay writer for the film Shine. And it was just brilliant. And there's some fabulous actors came into the fold. Christopher Gordon, who was the composer, it was just one of the Australian's best. Mm. So there is a phenomenal, and James Scott, who's the producer, who also produced Shine. Mm. So it was an A-team. Mm. And they also got an A-team on the ground in China to help them as well on the China side of the filming. So it was an incredible group of talents come together to produce my story, and that's why it's quite special.
Yeah.
Now, Lee, sorry, you mentioned earlier that you also enjoyed the writing. Is that something that you've thought about doing again or want to take up again?
Look, I think I will. I know, not at the moment as the director of the Queensland Ballet. I'm too busy.
Yes,
but I think when I finish my directorship, that's something I most likely be interested in pursue again. In fact, before I went to Queensland to direct the company, there has been discussions between my publisher and I about possible future books.
I think you should. Now, let's talk about the Queensland Ballet Company. You've been there 4 years.
Six.
Oh, 6 years.
Six years. Yeah.
6 years now. And you're here in Melbourne with ballet?
Sure. Oh, we're here, obviously, we're performing one of the most beautiful ballets. It's called A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, it's in a Shakespeare tale.
Yep.
And choreographed by one of the hottest choreographers today, Liam Scarlett, who is the resident artist for the Royal Ballet. On the back of his just premiered incredible new Swan Lake in May this year, and it was to tremendous acclaim.
Yep.
And he's the choreographer for the just about to be released, the Disney, The Nutcracker.
Right.
So he's really highly sought after around the world, and he had agreed to be our Queensland Ballet's artistic associate. So he's this, my company's his second home besides the Royal Ballet.
Now, what's it been like in Queensland? You know, like, you've turned that ballet company around, and it's become world famous now to the extent where after Melbourne, you're off to China with this, which be incredible for you to be taking the company to China.
Yeah, so, but I'm, you know, Melbourne is obviously, I just really would love to bring my company, my proud company here, because obviously Melbourne plays a very special part in my heart.
Of course.
Because I've finished my career here, my family, we grew up here, and we lived here for the longest part of my life, longer, even longer than China even. So so it'll be thrilling to perform from this Wednesday until this Sunday.
Yep.
And then, but again, take this same in production to China to showcase the company in the country where it all started for me. I grew up, and I still have a lot of my family there, a lot of my former teachers who played a major part in my life.
Yeah.
It will be very emotional, very special.
And the first time that you've actually taken a company.
Wow. Yes. I have performed back there twice, both with the Houston Ballet and the Australian Ballet.
Yep.
You know, when I performed with the Houston Ballet in 1995, the Chinese Central Television Station live telecast that performance, the opening night of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, gosh, I got very emotional
so
when you just said that.
So hundreds of millions of people watched that performance that night. It was thrilling. It was an incredibly emotional experience.
And you know, like, what must the your company be thinking? You know, like, they've got you as the artistic director. It's this amazing ballet, Midsummer's Night's Dream, and it's here in Melbourne, your sort of home city. And here you are going to China. They must be pinching themselves, thinking, how lucky are we to be on this journey with you?
I think, look, my dancers in at the Queensland Ballet, there is a sense of aspirational factor for them to work, in the company, because I really think we're sharing that vision to build a company to be a world-class ballet company. So that aim, that drive, that pursuit of perfection is just really evident in their work. So, and that's one of the reasons we're attracting some of the world's best choreographers, such as Liam Scarlett, to the want to come. Mm. And we're quite inundated with people, we would have begged them 6 years ago.
Yeah, but that's because of you. They're there because of you.
Please, not. I've been the spark.
Yes,
the spark,
the catalyst. Yes,
the catalyst. But I think it was very much a teamwork. To be totally honest, really, I could not have done it alone. At least I could not dance anymore. So others have to share my vision, and we can all work together as a team. I do have a fantastic team
to
sure help our dancers to realize their utmost potential.
Now, we are talking about the Queensland Ballet. They're here in Melbourne. How special is that? With a Midsummer's Night's Dream at Her Majesty's Theatre. You would know that theatre quite well.
Beautiful theatre.
Yeah, from the 3rd to the 7th of October, this week.
Yes.
This week.
Yes, we have 8 performances.
Yep.
So we have 4 matinees and 4 evenings.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming in today. And thank you for sharing your beautiful life story with us. An incredible life story. And we've only just touched on it. But read your book, see the film. Yeah. There's so much.
Yeah, yes. Could I say that I'll be there for every performance?
Yes.
So if your listeners who have read my book or seen the movie would like to come to meet with me, and I would love to shake their hands and to say hello.
Brilliant.
Sure. So we've been talking to Lee Swinson from the Queensland Ballet Company, and good luck with the show.
Thank you very much, and I really do hope the Melbournians will come to enjoy this really enchanting, beautiful production.
I'm sure they will.
A Midsummer Night's Dream playing this week at the Madge, the Queensland Ballet. You're listening to Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.